ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Judges. Broke into this book last week. We saw that chapters 1 through first couple of verses of chapter 3 represented what we might call a preface. But the preface is more than just that. It is also an explanation of what the Lord was going to need to do during this basically 300-year period that would lay ahead for them. The theme of the book, of course, is there was no king in Israel, therefore every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's quoted early and it's quoted late in the book. It also opens up with another unique earmark, and that is that it begins with who shall go up against the Canaanites in chapter 1. So we're going to find at the end of the book, they're going to ask the question, who shall go up against the Benjamites? How bad is that? They about wipe out the entire tribe of Benjamin toward the end of this book. So over the course of 300 years, a lot of turning takes place, and that would represent a cycle that we are going to see over and over again. These people will be at one point all in fellowship with God, as they were in chapter 1, who shall go up against the Canaanites, but then they will begin to drift and eventually begin to sin and apostatize, and then they will get into trouble with that so badly that they're going to be in bondage. And in that bondage, they're going to be oppressed. And then they're going to cry out and repent. And then finally, God's going to deliver them and it's going to be all good again. Many times for a good amount of time. So when you see the cycle taking place, you can recognize it maybe even in your own life. Okay, because we find ourselves sometimes cyclical in our progress. Some people will say 3 steps forward, 2 steps backward, 2 steps forward, 3 steps backward. You just, you know, you find yourself maybe bumping along. But therein lies the reason we're going to dive back into a couple of things. Because when we come to this preface, there's a setting of the stage. And the setting of the stage finds its hinge in the reality that there was a new generation that rose up and did not know the Lord, nor did they know His works. Now that's important. Sounds very much like our generation today. Young people coming up, many times having no biblical background at all. The society today, they've said, is a post-Christian society. And therefore, these people don't have any knowledge of God. And they don't know Him or His works. They don't know much about the Bible at all. I remember when I was visiting way back in 1991 in some of the streets in Virginia, there were these three kids. They were probably about 10, 11, and 12 years old walking along the side of the road. And I went up to give them a little chick tract. One of them was called One Way. And I tried to explain to them, you see here, this is Adam and Eve. And they're like, who? They didn't even know who Adam and Eve were. And sadly, young people today are devoid of any understanding at all. So we have to start at square one many times. But this is what God is doing. This nation that we live in really does echo what happened in Israel. Israel was God's people, founded upon the principles of His word and His character. And America was founded upon the same principles. And so we have much in common with them. And so I hope that we can see a little bit of light in the midst of the dark times we're in. In other words, even as God didn't give up on Israel, hopefully He won't feel it necessary to totally give up on us. That maybe there might be a cycle that we can come back to, that we might have a degree of revival and awakening. I believe it's the only hope, but I have a real hard time seeing it happen, and that's probably a problem with me more than with God. God can do anything, but I do see that there is a real stronghold in this country, in the media, in the movies, and all those things. Those things are really pervasive. And I think, say short of maybe an electromagnetic pulse knocking out everybody's electronics, there's going to be a real hard time to get people back up into their own hearts and their own heads and repentance to come on a mass scale. But I do believe this. I do believe that God will graciously show Himself strong in areas and countries and maybe even cities where those people decide to honor the Lord, or on the converse, decide to dishonor the Lord. That maybe judgment might come in places sporadically. In Ohio, for instance, we've got a mixed bag, don't we? We have the heartbeat bill being passed and signed by our governor. That's great. Let's protect the babies. That's a big deal. But I said last time we were together that I talked to you about the Drag 101. I think I called it Trans 101. I went back and looked it up. It's called Drag 101 being held in the library. And I said it was in Dayton. It wasn't in Dayton. It was closer to here. It was in Delaware. Delaware, Ohio. That's closer than Columbus. And they were having a Drag 101 class to help boys learn how to dress like girls. This was not for children, as the drag queen library reading time has been across America. Many of the libraries have been doing. This was for teens only. So let's bring our teen boys in and show them how to put on makeup and cosmetics and outfit themselves. I have some good news that one of the legislators in our state house, not up in the Senate, in the federal, but in our state levels, they got wind of it. They thought it was a joke, didn't take it seriously. That can't be happening. When he found out, they sent down a letter and it strongly advised them they better shut that down because they get state money. It was canceled. Praise God. So, like I said, we're a mixed bag. There's always a testing of the fences. And I want you to know something. When we look at the book of Judges, you're going to see a lot like what we're seeing today in America. The cycles are there. The sin is there. The solicitations to sin is there. It's all there. Your children and my children, our grandchildren, all our friends, they're not safe. And yet they don't understand what they're up against. And so when we come to this book, I want you to know why God brings about many of the things He brings about at the outset of the book. Remember, He told them that He would not any longer drive out the inhabitants before them as He had hastily done prior to this point. Under Joshua, walls of Jericho falling down flat in a day's victory. That's pretty fast. You know, you got five kings in the north. Under Joshua, long day. It was a long day, literally. It was a long day. And they were able to wipe out five kings and deal judgment rather hastily. Not so much once they got into this zone. Now, for you and for me, we've talked about the macrocosm. What we see is the Bible tells us very deliberately that the things in the Old Testament were written for our admonition, our instruction, and our learning. So when we look at Israel as a nation, remember that God uses them as a paradigm for you and me. But I want you to know, God deals with nations in time and people in eternity. In other words, somebody can go through their entire life disregarding God as an individual and maybe have all of the accoutrements of life. The house, the cars, the pool, the vacations, the bank accounts. And it looks like they go to their grave in quietness and peace. The psalmist actually witnessed that in his day when he said that his heart almost failed when he saw that there were no pains in their death. But he said, it was not until I went into the house of God and I saw the end of the wicked, that they have their portion in this life. And so God deals with people in eternity, but He deals with nations in time. So we've seen Israel kind of battered around like a cat and mouse kind of situation. Why? Because God, if He would not be witnessed unto by their sound judgment, He would be witnessed to in the severity of the judgments the nations would bring upon them. Does that make sense? God would allow Israel to stumble. He would allow them to buckle. He would allow them to go into other foreign lands. Whether it was the Assyrians taking away the northern kingdom, the Babylonians taking away the southern kingdom, Judah, or whether it was the oppression of the Romans when they had been restored and under Greeks, you know, all of these different big nations, the times of the Gentiles. All of that stuff is God dealing with Israel through His severe judgments. You know, we see it to this day. This day we're told that a blindness in part has happened unto Israel. So I want you to get your mind around what we're looking at. God is doing something new now. You know, it's not Moses in the parting of the Red Sea. It's not Joshua in the exploits in Canaan. This is the new generation coming along. And the Bible says that this new generation did not know the Lord nor His works. So God had to deal with them in a different way. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. And I have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Underline that. It is huge. Because God has a people that He says are going a-whoring after all the gods of the land of Canaan. And yet here He reiterates, I will never break my covenant. Macrocosm. Do you know the people of Israel existing today is a miracle? Nothing short of a miracle. These people should have been assimilated. They were ripped out of their land, say, under the Assyrians, taken and literally broken from one another in families and put in different places. That's how the Assyrians did things. They wanted to uproot people from their land and get rid of their identities. When Babylon takes Judah away, he takes away all of the accoutrements of their history. He castrates some of their smartest and brightest. He takes them and puts them into service. He gives them new names that are Babylonian. So that, if you're reading through Jeremiah and Isaiah, you'll find sometimes a king might have three different names. Because they will take the king and say, your name, it reflects Jehovah. We're going to give you the names of our gods in your name. And you'll find different people are named different things. Belteshazzar is Daniel's Babylonian name. And so what I want you to know is this is why they're a miracle. God said, I will never break my covenant with you. This is early. David hasn't been born yet. So that's based on basically just the Abrahamic covenant. I will never break my covenant with you. Do you feel a little secure in your microcosm of your life? Do you know you might stumble? You might mess up? You might find yourself in a pickle sometimes and you're thinking, what am I going to do? And you find yourself saying, Lord, I am so sorry. I want you to do something in your mind's eye. I want you to look at the years when we read through this book of oppression that these people have. And I want you to apply them to the days in your life. At the outset, we're going to see some things like, for instance, they're under one king and his oppressive rule for 8 years. It's kind of interesting because the next oppressive rule is 18 years and the next one is 20 years. Now, let's take those numbers and take them out of years and put them into days. You know, maybe you got saved, you were all lit up and you were excited and you were moving on for God. And suddenly, boom, you fell flat on your face. You embarrassed yourself. You snapped at somebody. You pushed somebody's ship away from shore. You were, a mess. And then you were in a funk for 8 days. And then you realize, Lord, I'm just sorry. I don't know what to say. And you found your joy restored. What happened with that? But then the next time you did it, 18 days. And the line still held. And God again. You came to your senses. The next time, 20 days, and sometimes it's as much as 40 years. And you know, even in our day, we find people on the sidelines, the highways and byways of life, who maybe once walked with God, and we knew that they had something real and genuine, but something hit their world. Something undid them. And as a result of that, they were like years out of the family. Oh, if you talk to them, they would not, what we might say, blaspheme the Lord, but they would not at the same time give any honor to Him because they maybe don't doubt the Lord, but they doubt themselves. This is a direct echoing of what we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, that if you don't add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge and to your knowledge self-control on up to love, if you don't add brick to brick and learn how to love, you will become unfruitful and barren, short-sighted, even unto blindness. Listen, forgetting even that we were washed from our sins. Bad place to be, right? And yet there are people like that. So they might not blaspheme, but they won't bless the name of the Lord either. And so it can get bad. And so what we're seeing in our instruction and learning taken from this is we're seeing that this can happen to us on the microcosm. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.